Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Mary had an unwanted baby, an unwanted pregnancy that was ordained by God through the Holy Spirit. And it was that unwanted pregnancy. A child was born, God, man, and died on a cross so that we might be right with God and right with our fellow man. Division, God brings it all together.
The truth is, only the gospel makes unity possible. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young brings a powerful word about how to heal division in the church so together we can heal this nation with the gospel. Stay right where you are. The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young is coming up next. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Restoring Unity.
The doomsday clock came into being in 1947, 2 years after the explosion of those atom bombs. And they put a clock there that all of these brilliant futurists meet and speculate and decide what time it is for humanity from a secular perspective will be virtually obliterated. During the Cold War, the clock was set at 7 minutes till midnight. Other times, every year, they move the clock down as they seek to determine the perspective as to where we are as to that doomsday moment of 12 midnight. This past Wednesday, they met and they set the clock at 100 seconds till doomsday. In other words, in their opinion, for the past 70 plus years when this has taken place, we're about 100 seconds. Never do they feel has the world been as close to catastrophe as we are this very moment. Their rationale for this is the proliferation of nuclear weapons. Now just think about it. We come to the point that in a suitcase, someone could carry a nuclear bomb that would literally level a city. So they see this widespread hatred between people, division between people, and they see the very real potentiality of that taking place. And then they have studied geopolitical politics. And they see the deep divisions anywhere you look in our world, any nation, any culture. People at one another's throats. Then they see the viruses that are beginning to appear, and they speculate they will see some viruses that will come that will have no medical answers, and millions of lives could well be lost. I read that. And I said, Lord, we thank you that you are the author of history and you have your hand on time. A part of the reason they feel we're at this moment of extremity is because of the division we now see in America. We are, as a people, without question, deeply, deeply divided. There is a movement in America, colleges, universities, scholars, even the business world. There's a movement in America to take America and make it totally secular, totally humanistic. Mention God in education. You're in trouble. Mention God in the business world, you're in trouble. Mention God almost anywhere in the basic entities, and now it's even being challenged as to whether or not we can have a family that's in God and of God. You see where we are? We're moving rapidly toward what was represented in the USSR, in which by their decree of their government, they were an atheistic nation completely void of God. We are moving rapidly in that direction. One nation, not under God. You see, that's the reason we're so unified. If you have a centralized authority, something which you can rally around, one nation under God, then there's hope for unity. What do you do with division? How do you get people together? In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, diversity. In all things, love. The essentials. You have to agree on the essentials. Under God, that's an essential. We must understand this. Where do we see this? Where is it put together? Is there a word from Almighty God? If there's 100 seconds, according to doomsday clock, until the end of civilization, we know it, how we need a word from the Almighty. Where do you find it? Clearly in the book of Corinthians. Corinthians. In fact, in the very early verses, some we've already studied, you can see this formula for unity. We can see in the essentials there is unity, and we've already looked at it in our study. Verse 4 following, we saw clearly the essentials were mentioned. Let me remind you of them. Beginning with verse 4, Paul says, I thank God always because of who you are, your identity. You're a Christian. That's an essential. You know God receives Jesus Christ. You're a Christian. And then he says, I want you all to be reminded of all the gifts you've received, the abilities, the talents you've received that God has given you. Then he said, I want you to know the direction in which you're headed. And God has cleaned up you and cleaned up me and made us righteous in the sight of God, and we are headed in the proper direction now and when we leave this life. And then he said, remember who you know. You know Christ. Relationship with the living God. These are essentials, ladies and gentlemen. This is not optional. This is basic ABC 101 Christianity. That's the essentials. What are the non-essentials? We'll talk about that. And Paul talks about it beginning with verse 10 all the way through here to verse 17. He talks about non-essentials. He talks about how in the church, what was going on? A very contemporary phrase was going on. Identity politics. Have you heard that lately? In other words, in the political world, they are so skilled, all of them, to dividing us up into groups. Oh, this is the group that represents this. This is the group that is this. And they have to keep dividing us in a group. In the church, we have all of it together. There are no groups. There is no division. In essentials? Oh, you've forgotten. In essentials? In non-essentials? And that's what you have. You have non-essential things in the church. And then Paul tells us how to deal with those that we disagree with. Oh, this is a challenge. Look at verse 10. He says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, my family, he's saying, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, in these first 10 verses, Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned 6 times in 10 verses. What's he telling us? He's telling us we're not under God as a nation, but the church is under the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason we can have unity, see? And on the essentials, we've talked about them. And then the non-essentials, he says, this is how you handle it. And he says that you all agree with one another in what you say, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. He said, my brothers and my sisters, see the sweet conciliatory tone. Come from Christ's household. Cleo, from the household. Inform me there's quarrels among you. Trey Gowdy, y'all know, former representative of South Carolina, served 8 years in the U.S. Congress. In his recent book, he said, those 8 years in Congress, as I talked with those who did not agree with me on the other side of the aisle, he said, my knowledge, I did not change the mind of a single one. Brilliant, Christian, logical, dynamic. We know him. He's been here. Let me tell you something. We have to appeal with a tear in our eye and compassion in our heart when there is divisions among us. We don't, he's going to get down to dealing with some very serious things if you've read 1 Corinthians. He's not going to pull any punches, but he begins by saying, this is the tone that we must use. We're in the business of winning, persuading, listening. Speak the truth in love. So then he talks about the division. By the way, these divisions are peripheral things. They have nothing to do with theology, basic understanding of God and truth. But he talks about the peripheral bit. He said, look, listen to what he says. He says, I follow Paul. Another one says, I follow Apollos. Another says, I follow Cephas. That's Hebrew word for Peter. Still another says, I follow Christ. How do you like that? And they're all divided up following personalities in the church. And one of them says, boy, I follow Paul. Now, Paul's writing. And Paul says, you follow me? Those who followed Paul, I wonder who they were in the church. Remember, this is a greatly diversified church in Corinth, a big metropolitan city, people from all walks of life. And they say, I follow Paul. In all probability, that were the Gentiles who had no background in the Torah and Judaism, and they'd came to know Jesus Christ, and they'd heard Paul say that we have freedom in Christ, and therefore they said, freedom, I can do anything I want to do. They looked on freedom as license. So they said, boy, we like Paul. Man, he is solid. We follow Paul. Another group said, no. I like Apollos. Apollos was from Alexandria. Alexandria was the citadel of learning in that day, had the largest library in the world. So here was this Egyptian who was Jewish, and Apollos was a charismatic speaker. Whew. Man, when he stood, there was a presence, there was an awe. His vocabulary was amazing, and he would take scripture and he would use it in a different way. He would take scripture and he would allegorize it. In other words, he'd say, well, this stands for that and that stands for that. And they'd say, ooh, I like Apollos. He is so brilliant. Others say, oh, no. We like Peter. That would be the Jews who are in the church there. And they would say, Peter represents those who believe. That when you become a Christian, you had to first of all become a Jew and get circumcised and follow all the laws of the Jews. Then you become a Christian. They said, we like that. They're the old-time, hardcore fundamentalists. And then there was a fourth group that says, well, all of you follow those people. We follow Christ. There's always some super pious somebody in a time of dissent. Man, I'm the one that's got it all together. I really know what Christ wants. I wish all you heretics did. You know how that works? And Paul says, nah, there's no division here. And then he asks himself some rhetorical questions. And I love how he said, verse number 10, he says, 13, he says, is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? Paul's writing these words. He said, I wasn't crucified for you. See, were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. And then he talks about those he baptized and those he didn't. And then he comes down and he shows here how to speak the truth in love. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Listen, division comes and we think we can get everybody together. We can compromise. Do you realize that Jesus Christ in his life never joined forces with the Herodians, with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Essenes, the Romans? Why? Oil and water can't mix together. And there was no mutual grounds. And so the division in Israel remained even after Jesus rose from the dead. So sometimes we compromise and we miss out. I read about a guy in New York who made a lot of money and he always wanted to be a rancher. And so he brought his family, he and his wife, his two children, boy and a girl, young man, young woman. They came to Texas, bought a ranch. They wanted to get in the cattle business. And so a friend of his from New York came down to visit him. He was talking to him and said, "My goodness, you got a beautiful, beautiful ranch here. What have you named your ranch?" And he said, "Well, we've gotten a big family squabble." He said, "I wanted to name it one thing. My wife is determined to name it something else." He said, "My son wanted to name it something else." He said, "My daughter wanted to name it something else." And we fought and were divided and went on and on until finally we decided to take all the names that we wanted and put it together in one name for the ranch. He said, "Therefore, the name of my ranch simply is the Bar X, the Susie Q, the Flying W, and the Lazy Z Ranch of Texas." And his friend says, "Well, you got it all together. I want to go out and see some real Texas cattle." And the guy said, "Regrettably, none of them survived the branding." You see, we think to bring everybody together, no matter what, is the way it works. That's not true. Paul says, look, this is what unifies you. I've already read it. He said, baptism. He wasn't belittling baptism. When we're baptized, we make a profession of faith, and it joins us moving from this life to the old life, the old sin, and now the resurrection. Baptism brings us together in the family of God. Also, the gospel. And we said the word gospel. He said, what is it? It's good news. You want a clear definition of the gospel? Read in the book of Acts the four great sermons in the book of Acts. Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 10. And you take the essence of those four great sermons, what do you have? You have Jesus, the Messiah, who fulfilled all the prophecy written hundreds of years before. You have the birth, the life, the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then you have the promise that he will come again. He will bring down the curtain of history according to his timetable, punctuated and authored by God himself. And then there's a call to receive Christ and to have a brand new life in him. That's the essence of the gospel. It unites us. That's the essentials that we have. The diversity of names and personalities, that's not theological. That is the peripheral things. That's the non-essentials. Therefore, we have diversity. But in all things, we have love. And where do we see love best demonstrated? It's the cross of Jesus Christ. Why? How is the cross? He says right here, it's laughter, it's foolish to those who don't get it, they're perishing. But he said to those who get what the cross is, it is the power of God, and the power of God alone can bring us together. You see, the cross does two basic things. Number one, the cross, the vertical part, goes all the way up to heaven. And that vertical part takes the division that you and I have with us in God. Did you know that without the cross, you are divided from God, and God is divided from you? And therefore, it is Jesus' death on the cross that takes care of the vertical divide between you and me and God Almighty. If anybody thinks they can just go to God anytime and pray and ask without first of all confessing and getting right with Him, you see, the fracture between humanity and God is taken care of on the cross. That's the manifestation of His love. And the vertical part, it makes you and me right with God through Christ on that cross. And then we get the vertical part right. Then the cross also settles everything horizontally. We have problems with others, difficulty with others, conflict with others. You see, when I have a problem with somebody, you know what I do? I go to God and say, God, let's make sure that we've got it together. I go humbly and confessing and make sure I got this. And then all of a sudden, He gives us the power to get all the vertical divisions together. So that's the love of God. Vertically, horizontally. And at the cross, understand one thing. There in Corinth, they were divided. They had the Romans, patricians who wore their fancy robes. They had the Corinthians there who were covered with their royal vestments. They were in the church. They had slaves who were there. They had hardworking men and women who were there. They had those who were in poverty. They had those who were very successful. They had everything in the world in that church at Corinth. It was totally diversified. But at the cross, at the foot of the cross, folks, all of that didn't mean one thing. The patrician with his beautiful robes came to the cross, and the slave came to the cross because, remember this, nothing in my hands I bring when you come to the cross, but simply to the cross we cling. It's the love of God. It's how we get together right with God and right with one another, and it's very, very flat there. I don't have a thing in and of myself and in and of yourself we can offer to God and say, Lord, do you know? No. It is flat at the cross as His love is poured out for those who go there and kneel there, fall on their face there. And all of a sudden, there's no division between you and me and God, and all of a sudden, the divisions that divide us begin to disintegrate. You see, let's whisper it now. In essentials, and non-essentials. Now let's shout this last one. Ready? In all things, love. In the Philippines, 36-year-old man was driving his motorbike down some back country roads, and a little black dog came out barking at him. And the dog kept on barking, and he wasn't just barking at the bike. The dog would run ahead of him and bark and run off to the side. And he said, you know, what does this dog want? And finally, he figured out the dog wanted him to follow him. And so he got out off the motorbike, and the dog was happy, and he began to walk at a good pace, and he walked right behind him. And the dog led him to a trash pile, and he saw there a brown blanket. And he went over and he lifted the brown blanket, and there was a newborn baby. And he picked up the baby in the blanket, and he went back on his motorbike, and very carefully he rushed that baby to the hospital. And the nurses came out and the doctors, and they cleaned him up, and the dog followed him all the way back to the hospital. And a little while they came out and said, you know, you rescued the baby just in time. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. And I'm sure we'll find a family that'll be delighted to adopt him. And then he went out and was telling all of his friends about the heroic dog that led him to the baby, that saved the life of the baby. Rescue story. Then his friend says, well, what happened to the dog? He said, I don't know. He said, let's go see if we can find him. So a group of them been walking around that whole area in the woods and on the street until finally they came to a garbage dump, and there was that dog, astray, emaciated, mange, terrible health. They went and got that dog and took him to the vet and got him cleaned up and cured. And sure enough, a family came and said, I want to have that heroic dog, as my pet. That's a true, great rescue story. True, I think, great rescue story. The dog saved the baby, and then the baby saved the dog. Isn't that something? There's something about an unwanted baby in history, isn't it? Mary had an unwanted baby, an unwanted pregnancy that was ordained by God through the Holy Spirit. And it was that unwanted pregnancy, a child was born, God, man, and died on a cross so that we might be right with God and right with our fellow man. Division. God brings it all together. Incidentally, that baby was born, that Filipino baby was born this past December the 24th.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you to build your life on the proven truth of God's Word.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org.